Hey, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Bitcoin Banter. I have Rick and Tony here with me. Rick has a power outage, so if he's looking a little dark on the screen, that it should explain it. Okay, let's jump right into the news. This has been a crazy week, as I think we all could have anticipated. First and foremost, we have the executive order signed by Donald Trump. It is not a Bitcoin strategic reserve. I'll just say that. It's a digital asset stockpile that has been proposed to be studied by a working group. So not quite the news, but some Bitcoiners are choosing to celebrate it as though it's the same thing. Tony, why don't you take this one first? What's your reaction?
Bullish, very bullish. And the reason for that is that I know Donald Trump is a businessman at heart, right? And he's the type of person that usually follows up on everything that he says. It's never failed in the past, at least, you know, for the most part. He's done pretty much everything he said he was set out to do. He said he was going to free Ross on day one. Okay, it wasn't exactly day one, but, you know, it wasn't a week later. It was just the very next day. So now he set the framework to make, you know, America the number one hub for Bitcoin and crypto. So it's not the strategic reserve announcement, you know, specifically, but, you know, this is a new sheriff. So he's laying out the groundwork, you know, for that vision. And I expect him to follow through with it. He's got a good team on his hand. And, you know, whether they, you know, push out crypto and Bitcoin at first at the same time for whatever reasons it may be, the Bitcoin side of it will no longer be under attack. And eventually, you know, the tech will prove itself and will win, you know, overtake everything else, because, you know, fiat, everybody who understands money understand that it's going nowhere. And so you can play these gambling games for a little while, but sooner or later, you know, it will bite you, and all roads lead to Bitcoin in proper self-custody. So I'm very bullish on this. It's very exciting to see this. I hope nothing unexpected shows up. I don't foresee what could possibly ruin this, but it's definitely a step in the right direction, and I'm happy he's doing it.
Rick, what do you think?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I mean, first off, I'll apologize if you can't see me because we've had a power cut here. I'm unfortunately back in the UK, and as you guys know, like, nothing works here, right? So I can only assume it's too windy for the wind turbines or some other nonsense, right? But crypto reserve digital asset stockpile thing. I kind of hope it don't sound like a bit of a Debbie Downer on this, but if I'm really brutally honest, I don't think I care. I really don't think that I care what any government or Donald Trump or anyone else is doing, right? I actually bemoan a little bit that I have to go and read all of this kind of asinine documentation about crypto and regulations and all this sort of stuff. I mean, you know, first of all, a digital asset stockpile kind of strongly suggests that, well, first, what it isn't is a commitment to buy Bitcoin, right? As far as I can interpret it at the moment, and there's a lot of noise out there, it's more a case of they will keep hold of any seized cryptocurrencies that they get from heists or whatever, right? So, you know, I know there's a lot of excitement around there about, oh, you know, the US is going to buy loads of Bitcoin and pump my bags. But, you know, I don't know if I'd be expecting that, like, right around the corner. I've read that the working group here, they've actually got to file a report within 180 days of, you know, whatever they plan to do or something. That's a long time, 6 months. So, you know, maybe everyone's kind of excited, hoping for these big green candles. But, you know, I would just maybe temper that a little bit and don't do anything stupid, like open some leveraged longs and then get too hyped up. The other thing, there's a lot of talk about crypto renaissance and capital of crypto. And I don't know what I make of that. It's kind of funny. Like, I've seen a lot of people get wrecked by crypto. I've never seen a nation state get wrecked by crypto. So I don't know. The podcast episodes might get really interesting over the next 12 to 18 months. I don't know. If they buy a whole load of XRP, then I'd be quite bearish on that stockpile. I don't know what to tell you. And okay, look, I think there's some things to celebrate, right? Like, I don't want to be totally negative about it. You know, they're saying we're going to support your rights to self-custody. Love that. We're going to be happy for people to mine Bitcoin and stuff like that. Again, I love that. But, you know, there's lines in there like, we're going to protect your individual rights. Well, Bitcoin is already doing that, right? Bitcoin protects my individual rights. The last time I checked, the only thing the government has ever done during my life is erode my individual rights. So you can write that on a piece of paper. I'd rather trust the code than something that a politician says. And then they talk about things like, we're going to promote innovation. Well, guys, you're pretty late to the party. Most of the innovation happened about 16 years ago. Like, where have you been? And that's not to say that Bitcoin is static, right? It'll keep changing and evolving. But it's certainly not going to be because the government has helped. When does the government innovate on anything? The best way for a government to support innovation is to be quiet, keep looking after menial services, and get the hell out of the way. There's a couple of things in there that just made me chuckle, right? Like, they said, we're going to have also regulatory oversight. And I'm thinking, you guys, you don't realize how defunct you are. The regulatory oversight is the protocol, right? The protocol rules, no one can break them. Even you, that's the oversight sorted. You're surplus to requirements. You know, then there was stuff about they're going to regulate the issuance of cryptocurrencies. Well, all right, that's a major red flag, right? Because we know what controls the issuance of Bitcoin, and it's nobody. So, you know, it worries me that, like, this is opening the door to launching a load of nonsense. And the people I fear for are the people who are going to get dragged in the wrong direction by this, because it is kind of, you know, supporting crypto and other projects. So for me, maybe I'm a bit like tired of this news now, because it's you know, everyone's super excited. The US is going to buy Bitcoin, but that's not what any of this documentation says. I think it's likely to happen in the fullness of time. But I don't care. I don't care what the government does. Like, Bitcoin is going to do what it's going to do, regardless of whether they support it or not. And I would just like to take the time to remind people that we're here to separate money and state, right? Like, stop waiting for permission from the government to be free, and just be free, right? So that's kind of my two cents. It's definitely not bad news, but I'm not like throwing a party tonight, if you know what I mean.
Well, it's a bit expected though, no? I mean, what did you expect the government to come out and say, okay, guys, let's pack it up. You know, Bitcoin's here, you know, we're out. It's just not going to happen that way. But like you said, it is a free market. So they're going to do whatever they think makes sense, especially with regards to the dollar. They do specifically mention in that thing, you know, something about strengthening the dollar. They have to say this. Can you imagine if they announce tomorrow, all right, that's it, everything turns Bitcoin in 24 hours, what kind of mayhem that'll cause worldwide? Ultimately, that's what's going to happen anyhow. Let the free market do whatever it wants. If it wants to gamble, let it gamble. It has to get tricked to learn. There is no other way. You can sit here and preach all day long. Some people will still ignore you. So it's a moot point. So let them do whatever they have to do. Ultimately, we all know all roads are going to lead to Bitcoin, because it's the only neutral ground that everyone, every living soul can trust, including governments. None of these guys trust each other. They are not going to settle on anything else. I can assure you of this. So as long as he gets out of the way, which I genuinely believe he will, eventually even they will understand that the separation of money and state is inevitable. So they have to keep themselves relevant in some way, shape, or form. It's not, they're not going to opt out tomorrow, you know, even though many people would love that. But it's just not going to happen. Let's just be realistic here.
Well, that's, I guess, why I kind of agree with you, Tony, is that's why I just don't care. I really don't care what Trump does or any government. Like, you know,
it doesn't matter. Absolutely, it doesn't matter. But you just have to let them play out the way they, you know, they're still making decisions. So let them make these decisions. Ultimately, 1 + 1 is always going to equal 2, no matter what anybody says.
Yeah, I think, Rick, I think I agree with everything you said. Where I really agree with Tony too, though, is bullishness on it. not because we should be seeking government permission and regulatory clarity, but there are a lot of rule followers out there who aren't going to go take self-sovereignty and, you know, grab it by the horns and you know, move forward that way. They're waiting for the government to give them the green light. And so I think from a dollar exchange rate perspective, this is very bullish for Bitcoin, because I think people are going to get, all the rule followers at least, are going to get the clarity that they've been seeking, while the rest of us have just been stacking sats and ignoring the government for a long, long time. But yeah, there are no teeth to this yet, right? Like, there isn't regulatory clarity. There isn't a strategic reserve. There isn't any of these things that they're effectively investigating this, looking into it, and they're going to write a report. It could take some time to get back to it. And then after 180 days, who knows how much longer to act on it if they do, right? Like, there's nothing is binding here. This is effectively an executive order for a working group to look into it. And it could end up being a bunch of shit coins. You know, we're going to talk about XRP here in a minute. So time will tell. But I think the thing for me is the people on Twitter who are like cheering this is like, this is like the Bitcoin's, it is a digital asset. So it is a Bitcoin reserve. It's like, there is no reserve. Like, that literally isn't what happened. So, I mean, you can keep patting yourself on the back for winning, but like it you know, you haven't yet. So I think that's what's maybe the most annoying. Let's talk about XRP. My beloved XRP, right, Rick? So Pierre Richard, so I was going through Twitter last night and 80% of my feed was Pierre Richard just dumping on XRP. And he basically said, I could have pulled so many of his tweets, but he said the executive order prohibits agencies from undertaking any actions to establish, issue, or promote central bank digital currencies. Oof, Ripple XRP wrecked. And of course, he tagged Brad Garlinghouse. XRP is like, the more I read, actually, I learned a lot about XRP last night. I've just ignored it my entire Bitcoin journey. But talk about a shitcoin. I mean, this is unreal. I guess the question will be, does the sort of crypto lobby, the Brad Garlinghouses of the world, have the do they have the power and the money behind it to somehow, you know, meander into a strategic reserve to the extent that it's developed? Rick, I'll let you run with this one first.
Well, like, Michael, you know, we need to have a word at some point, right? You keep trying to turn this into an XRP podcast, but man, listen, we're not going to buy your bags, man. I'm really sorry to say, but oh yeah, all right, XRP. I mean, it's like a bad smell that just never goes away. You know, I mean, to be fair, it's an impressive scam. The way that coin has held on for so long is remarkable, because it's pre-mined centralized trash. And the way that Ripple has really tried to stay relevant is they always announce partnerships, right? We're going to help the banks like send money between each other, and then they announce partnerships. But if you look into those partnerships, typically like Ripple have paid for those partnerships by dumping XRP on XRP holders. Then the announcement comes up and the price of XRP goes up, and then they dump some more of their pre-mined shitcoin, and it just goes round and round and round again. And I think their whole approach has kind of been like they were making this play on governments wanting to launch CBDCs and using XRP as the rails for it. So yeah, you know, that's one great thing that came out of the executive order, is this kind of, you know, blocking the CBDC route. And it must be bad news for Brad and for yourself, Michael. I'm really sorry about that. Yeah, look, you know, XRP has always been a joke. Imagine investing in a coin where its whole sort of use case is based upon making banks more efficient. When Bitcoin is around and says, well, no, we're making banks obsolete, it's really kind of backwards. It's really stupid. Most people are going to get wrecked by it. And I'm sure Brad Garlinghouse is maybe not having the best day ever today. Because hopefully we will get an XRP CBDC.
Yeah, I think the problem is the CBC is defined in the executive order, and it's a pretty broad definition, to be fair. I mean, it would exclude many, many things that a CBDC could be. That said, you know, it wouldn't be the first time that the federal government just rolled over something, you know, steamrolled something that they've established as law or a constitutional amendment and said, well, not, you know, we're going to kind of change how we look at this. And a CBDC is still possible. But yeah, of course, it's better to have language in there saying it's not allowed. So there's potentially future legal ground to stand on in fighting that. And maybe the Supreme Court could would come in handy in that situation. Tony, what do you think about the XRP debacle?
XRP, man, it's one of the most corrupt organizations, you know, the world has ever seen. These guys were 100% banking on becoming like the new platform for the monetary system, you know, that central bank digital currency. That's their entire premise was based on that. This is why they were lobbying and campaigning, spending millions of dollars trying to, you know, destroy Bitcoin over the, you know, the last God knows how many years. And they failed spectacularly with each and every single one of them. People that believe in XRP are, you know, people that don't understand money and somehow, you know, live under the assumption that government is always going to be in charge of the money. And so since these guys are attached to the government and the big banks and they're important players, well, then, you know, if I buy some of their product, I'm going to become rich because of it. They're not thinking, they understand nothing. All they see is, you know, that wet dream of becoming a millionaire from nothing. And so when that doesn't materialize, and which it won't, because Donald Trump just torpedoed that dream entirely with what he just put out, they're going to lose their money, just like any other altcoin out there. You know, you have, you know, the illusion of easy gains, but the reality is, you know, it's fast losses. And so I expect nothing different from this.
Yeah, the last thing I'll say on the executive order is the term digital assets to me provides an opportunity for the U.S. government to also be the buyer of last resort for monkey JPEGs. So if you're busy sitting there arguing about which cryptocurrency is going to be included in a potential reserve, just keep in mind ordinals, NFTs, it's all on the table apparently, because those are all digital assets, right? Alrighty, next we've got China, the clown of the week. So I'm assuming this is true. I've seen this in a couple of places. China sold its entire 194,000 Bitcoin stash. These were seized Bitcoin. David Bailey was the first response I see here. He said not all, but some. They stopped selling when Trump announced support. So it sounds to me like they sold a lot of Bitcoin at the very least, maybe not all of it. Tony, when will China regret this? How quickly?
It was very surprising to read that, by the way, because I don't know where these people have been living under a rock for so long, considering Germany, you know, did that complete blunder not that long ago, and everybody was buzzing around this, how they missed out on an opportunity of a lifetime, and yet they're going ahead to do this. Either they're sort of like living under the delusion that if they get rid of it, somehow it won't exist anymore, or it'll just disappear and go away. I don't know what kind of craziness goes through their heads, but when they realized that Trump wasn't backing down and he was actually, you know, following through with making America the number one Bitcoin and crypto, nation of the world, they paused. But, you know, I guess that would explain why we had a momentary dip amongst all the bullish news that, you know, was out the last couple of days. I was wondering, like, why would anybody, you know, want to dump their coins considering everything that is expected to be announced, you know, imminently? Well, now we understand, you know, $30 billion is a lot of money. And so if they were actually selling them, and I believe they did, at least a large portion of it, there's your answer. But the good news is it got gobbled up in no time. So there's another, you know, dummy of the year, you know, right after Germany.
What's amazing to me is I remember people saying after Germany sold, I remember people saying, you know, why would you sell a hard asset for something that you can print, right? And I thought, okay, that's a good point. It didn't really resonate until I look at the order of magnitude that China is operating on now, 194,000 Bitcoin for a currency that they can literally press print on. Like, to me, like, China's been a bit more strategically savvy in many cases. This is mind blowing to me. I have no idea whose decision that was or what they're thinking. Rick, what do you think?
not that surprised. You know, I've reached this place where I don't understand why people don't recognize that politicians are dumb. Like, they're really, really dumb. Like, we are led by some of the weakest amongst us. I don't know if anybody watched, like, any of the sort of clips from Davos and all this World Economic Forum nonsense that went on recently. But there was a world leader on stage there, and the question of Bitcoin and crypto or whatever came up. And man, the questions this guy was asking, he was like, well, why can't we use apples as a reserve? Why can't we use beef or lamb or mutton as a reserve? I mean, this, do you just see what I'm saying, right? So like you kind of, it's easy to look at a nation and think, well, you know, the people who run this big, powerful nation, they must be really clever. But I can tell you from my own experience in the UK that most of the people who run our nation are complete, absolute clowns, right? Like really dumb. So, I guess I find it funny, but not particularly surprising when a government does something that looks totally irrational and illogical. So, yeah, they sold some Bitcoin, big mistake, especially, I mean, imagine, you're absolutely right. Imagine being able to print money for free, but then, you know, spend Bitcoin to get it. It defies logic. There's no point trying to figure it out or explain it. It's just really, really stupid. So, yeah, unlucky for China. I mean, sometimes I wonder, like, is this a bit of a psyop? Right, like there must be smart people over there. They must, these nations, they must be mining Bitcoin quietly somewhere. Like, do you know what I mean? Do they put this stuff out there on social media so everyone goes, ha ha, you idiots? But really, they're playing a bigger game. I don't know, but yeah, who cares? I love it. I hope all the governments sell all their Bitcoin. We get cheaper prices. Let's separate money and state. Let's make the governments broke and small and stop them interfering in our lives. I'm bullish on individuals building their own Bitcoin reserve.
Yeah, by the way, I saw that clip from Davos that you were talking about. Yeah, mind-blowing. I hope for that guy's sake he's playing some, you know, he's playing 4D chess and, you know, trying to sound stupid, but boy, could we have had a better representative for Bitcoin up there than Brian Armstrong responding. Like, it was just such a weak, like, yeah, frustrating. I wish Pierre Richard was up there. Or no, actually, I wish Tony was up there. That's who I wish was up there.
What's wrong with the beef reserve, man?
hey, I would take a beef reserve. The key, because it's perishable, is you just have to recycle the old out and send it to my house. I'll take the old stuff, and then you bring, you know, new in.
Roger. All right. You have to freeze it, Michael. If you freeze it, then actually you're going to have to secure it with energy, and then it's kind of like Bitcoin. Same thing.
I love it. I love it. That's why I have two deep freezers. All righty. We've got, this is hilarious. The ECB pitches a digital euro as a response to Trump's crypto push. So I don't know. Do they think this is like an apples to apples exchange that they're making here? Like Trump pushes crypto and they're now pushing for a digital euro? Like I'm really unclear on this, but Rick, I'll let you kick this one off.
I think the reason you're unclear on this is because it just doesn't, again, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense, does it? You know, first off, you'd have to explain to me why the current euro isn't pretty digital, right? We all live in a world now where you're very rarely walking around with wads of cash on you, right? Everyone's just beeping their cards everywhere. Most of it's digital anyway. So the question has to be, well, what's the advantage of a digital euro? Why is it any better than the money that we use now that's pretty much digital? And I guess the answer is more control. I think, I don't know, they're like small children, right? They don't think for themselves. They just follow along. I don't think they really understand what they're talking about or what they're trying to say. So
Rick, it's because it's built on a blockchain. Because blockchain,
oh,
man,
well,
come on.
Yeah, great. I mean, yeah, we've written articles on like Bitcoin, not blockchain, right? If you want to go down that rabbit hole and understand why a blockchain solves nothing unless it's coupled with all the other great benefits of Bitcoin, right? But one thing that might be interesting to mention is, you know, this order from the US is saying we're banning central bank digital currencies. But from where I'm sitting, a stablecoin is kind of potentially on the route to being a CBDC anyway. So we have almost like this false distinction between a USDT stablecoin versus, you know, an Orwellian CBDC. But I don't see why a USDT can't become quite Orwellian. I've heard rumors. I haven't verified this, but I heard somewhere, I think the other day, someone saying that like people who worked at Chainalysis companies are now moving over and getting jobs in these companies like Tether and all that sort of stuff. So just because it says in that bill that CBDCs are off the table, I think if there's a USDT and a push for stablecoins, that threat is still very real and still exists.
Yeah, Tony?
No, let's be clear about something. A stablecoin already is a CBDC. It just hasn't been activated or weaponized yet. But if they wanted to, it's a five-second process. It's not that complicated. With regards to the ECB, I think these people are just in denial. They genuinely believe they're still relevant in the big picture, and that if they release something using a buzzword, you know, digital or blockchain or whatever it may be, that somehow they're going to stay, you know, remain in power doing, you know, whatever it is that they've been doing all along. That's not the case. You know, like the game has changed significantly now. Bitcoin truly blew up the entire financial system worldwide. It has changed the game in the same way that the internet has revolutionized the world. There is no going back now. And they clearly don't like this because, you know, as more and more people understand this, you know, the harder it is for them to say anything intelligent. So those of us that have been in Bitcoin, that have studied money, that understand that you cannot stop peer-to-peer technology, you just can't. Once you understand this, all of this is just noise. They're just hoping there's still a large enough number of folks that understand nothing that will just go along with whatever rubbish that they put out. And in the short term, that will still be the case. You just have to walk outside, talk to people. They have no clue about anything. Like, you can't even begin a conversation with some of these folks. It's just a complete waste of time. But at some point, even they will realize that they need something else because they can't do or buy anything. It's going to come to something as simple and obvious as that to make them ask different kinds of questions. So those of us who have a head start on this, that understand what's going on, that's where I think the world will be divided. That generational wealth, you know, the people living glorious lives, that's exactly what's going to happen. And that's going to attract a lot of attention from those on the other side where the grass isn't that green. So let's see. It should be interesting.
Yeah. So you guys know I love doing this show, but what gets frustrating sometimes is we spend a lot of time talking around one concept. The solution is just so much simpler. Buy Bitcoin, take it into self-custody. Like, if you want to preserve your wealth, if you want savings for the future, if you want self-sovereignty, and so on and so forth, buy Bitcoin, put it in self-custody. Like, it's really that simple. And like, there's so much new, like, people are looking for, how do I take on leverage and accumulate more? How do I, you know, take on leverage so I can, you know, get USDC from Coinbase? And it's like, just buy Bitcoin and take it into self-custody. That's the message. So yeah, for anyone listening, just, I hope that's your takeaway when we're running circles around these topics. Alrighty, guys, last topic. I'd be remiss if I didn't bring it up this week. Ross Ulbricht is a free man. This is the first picture of him after leaving prison after 11 years, I think it was. So I wasn't, Rick, you probably remember when Ross was, or when Silk Road was shut down and Ross was put on trial. I'll let you give your initial comments.
Yeah, a great result. What's exciting and encouraging about this is that, you know, it is actually quite a rare thing to see a politician deliver on their promise. And that's exactly what Trump's done. Now, I know the whole of Bitcoin Twitter had their knickers in a twist because, you know, was it day one or was it the next day? And they're getting very impatient. But I think, you know, Give the man a chance, right? He had an inauguration and a ball to go to. So, yeah, look, as far as I'm concerned, promise kept, Ross is free. That's great. For people who don't know much about the story, just like a really brief overview, basically what Ross did was built the first kind of libertarian peer-to-peer marketplace that lived on the dark web. And you could sell all sorts of things on it, right? You could sell books. There was loads of normal things on it. But what hits the headlines is that, yes, there were drugs available on it and all this sort of stuff, because that's kind of what's going to happen on a libertarian marketplace. The whole thing boiled down to, though, like, you know, Ross, when they sentenced him, they threw him underneath the prison, right? I can't remember the exact charges, but this guy was never going to get out, ever, right? And I suppose the main charge circulated around, you know, he built the marketplace. But does that necessarily make him responsible for any of the illicit activity that took place on the marketplace? And a lot of people, I think, like, especially in the development community, were saying that's not really fair, right? Because if someone robs your house with a transit and uses a transit van as a getaway, they don't go and accuse Ford Motor Company of being complicit in that. You know, if you stab someone with a knife, the manufacturer of the knife is not necessarily in trouble. And, you know, let's not forget how much, you know, crime is committed through the banks and things like this, right? So a lot of people, myself included, thought that the charges were totally overblown. And it was mainly, they were just trying to make an example of him, because what the state wants least, that what they're really afraid of, is you trading directly with one another without them being involved, right? Without their oversight, without them taking a cut, without them telling you what you can and can't do. So for them, yeah, they had to make an example of Ross. And sadly, you know, that put him in quite a ridiculous, very, very difficult situation. So it's encouraging to see that, because, well, what I'm really hoping for is, you know, what about the samurai deaths? Right, we all miss the samurai devs. They were their contributions to Bitcoin are massive, right? Way bigger than I think most people appreciate. Like, a lot of functions in the wallets that you love were developed by them first, you know, things like address labeling, and everyone sort of followed them. So hopefully this sets a bit of a trend now, and, you know, the samurai guys, we can also free them, because again, all they did was write code. They didn't launder anyone's money, they just wrote code. So very good sign, very happy for Ross. And I just, man, I hope he just enjoys some time with his family, right? And can you imagine how sweet that freedom must taste for him? So I hope he is drinking it up, lapping it up. Yeah, very, very happy for him. It's good result.
Yeah, I think a more apt analogy, even though, would be that people could understand it, are like VPNs and other, you know, open source or proprietary privacy-oriented tools. People are using that to do all sorts of insane stuff online, right? I mean, sex trafficking, like you name it. Like, it's going on by use of privacy tools. Why aren't all of them in prison if that's the standard, you know, of justice? So, yeah, very happy for Ross. Tony, you want to close this one out?
Yeah, of course, man. The attack on Ross was a direct attack on Bitcoin, you know, initially. You know, the whole premise of transacting with one another without, you know, the involvement of the state or the bank is exactly what they attacked, at least from my lens. So by, you know, sacrificing this poor guy, you know, they were hoping it would send such, you know, a disastrous message across the universe that if you touch this thing called Bitcoin, this is what happens. They failed, unfortunately. Unfortunately, at the expense of this poor guy who had to waste 11 years of his life incarcerated. But their attempt to destroy, you know, the and keep people away from Bitcoin failed spectacularly. And that's the same thing that's going on, you know, with the Tornado Cash of samurai devs. They can't kill the tech. The only thing that they can do is attempt to scare the living daylights out of everybody to stay away from it. But even that is failing. And then here comes along someone like Trump that torpedoes all of these illegal efforts. So when he didn't release him on day one, I think this could be attributed to the anxiety of the people, you know, not believing any politician, because normally they never follow through on what they said. So because he was late, they're like, oh shit, is he one of them liars as well, right? So I think this is what was going on. Thankfully, just the very next day, everything, you know, turned out exactly as he had announced, and life is good. I'm really happy this guy is free. And I hope everybody will just give him, you know, the space that he needs, you know, to you know, reunite with his family the way he sees fit. And, you know, I think he put out a little message that when he is ready, he has a lot to talk about. So we just have to, you know, leave him be for the time being. And when he's ready, he will be back.
Yeah, I saw a good meme that said, man sentences Ross Ulbricht to 20 years of on libertarian podcasts. I can only imagine the fanfare he's going to experience. So yeah, I hope he takes his time and just enjoys it for now. Tony, great way to close out. For everyone listening, thank you for tuning in. Go to the bitcoinway.com/podcast. As I talked about before, Bitcoin in proper self-custody, that is the way to self-sovereignty. We can help you do it. We'll hold your hand every step of the way. We also help with online privacy, privacy phones. We've got a Plan B residency option. Again, the bitcoinway.com/podcast. We'd love to schedule some time with you. Gentlemen, thank you as always. Crazy week of news. I can't wait to see what we're talking about next week.
Thank you, Michael.
Cheers, Michael.
Cheers, guys.